From the land of Grand Hudover City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the very first day of June 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will join us from the farm there in Shelbyville to take up the cash grain market. He's with Channel Seeds Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. And as we finish up our time together, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Along the way, we'll hear from Gary Schnitke. He's put together the crop budgets for this coming year. It's not great, but it's better than it has been in the past. We'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We're joined now by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us today.
Just fine, Todd.
So tell me a little bit about where we stand in the cycles and what you're thinking about the price of corn and soybeans for the summer months.
Well, my guess is, looking at some of my cyclical work, that we're in a window here, kind of in this late May, early June time frame, to at least put some stability into the market and open the door for some kind of June, July type rally. And of course, that's all going to depend upon what kind of summer weather pattern we have that kind of sets up. In the short run, I know the crop rating levels don't show much promise, or they show a crop much smaller than maybe last year, but we probably need to give the market a little bit more time. And I think that's what the trade is looking at. I mean, when you look at the chart patterns, corn basically is still confined to a sideways trading range. Deece corn has so far moves up to 395, has kind of been a brick wall. We go up there and then we fall back. Now, one of these days we'll probably break above that. And when we do, that would really open up the door for a meaningful rally. But we'll have to wait and see what kind of fundamental comes along to trigger that type of breakout. Wheat futures, I guess I would call them still in somewhat of a sideways type pattern. However, we're getting to the point now where you've got a pretty good seasonal downdraft, but we don't have a lot of harvest activity taking hold, so we have to wait until we see when harvest takes hold, and then we'll get kind of yield reports and whatnot and what happens, whether or not that would be enough to take wheat futures lower, you know, into a seasonal harvest time type low. Bean futures broke to the downside when I was talking to you, I think last week, it kind of indicated that the way we closed that we were at least breaking out to the downside. That downside pressure did continue at least for the first 3 days of this week. Now today we've kind of stabilized. And I think the primary reason probably soybeans have taken it on the chin probably more so than anything else, or what kind of pushed it sharply lower, was probably the chaos that we're seeing in Brazil, weak currency. This is the time of year your world export buyers are basically down in the South America area picking up inventories. So that is where all the focus is. And when the soybean values tanked in Brazil, the U.S. values just followed along. Again, probably what contributed or added to that is the belief that we may have picked up additional soybean acres from the March report. That may be the case. It may not be the case. We don't know. That's going to be something that the trade is going to probably argue about, but I don't see any one person having a better argument than the other. So that'll probably keep things in suspense until USDA gives us their planted number as of June 1. And I don't think it's exactly going to be what it is today. I think they got a few days they fudge in there. give or take a few days either side of June 1, what's been planted. But that's what everybody will be focused on June 30th. And of course, by June 30th at that time, then we'll probably have a pretty good idea what kind of summer weather pattern has set up, and if there's any major problems in any of the growing regions, and how big a problem it is, and what kind of impact that may or may not have on the supply-demand table.
Last week when we talked, we were discussing old crop corn supplies. A lot of it's still around. You suggested, when I asked, that is, that producers might go ahead and get rid of some of that which is in the bin. We're still up in those areas. Are you still of the same mind?
Well, yeah, there comes a time, you know, once you get the new crop planted, and depending upon how the growing condition is going. Now, in a lot of areas, it's not going too good for some. Those guys will probably have a tendency to want to hang on to that old crop corn a little bit longer than the guys that are maybe in some of the better areas. For the time being, like I said, I think, you know, you basically sell the top end of the trading range. You kind of avoid any kind of panic selling down at the bottom end of the range, and kind of dribble that out. If you would want to own something, I would probably encourage maybe a call option of some kind. And that would be if corn does decide to break out of this sideways pattern to the upside. But we could stay in this sideways pattern for a long time. I mean, we don't have to break out anytime soon. We'll just have to see how the crop rating levels come along. We'll see. June 21st will be the first day of summer. That is a time frame that I usually kind of watch as any clues of what to expect for the next 12 weeks or for the next season. That could be a real key time frame to see what kind of weather pattern. So far, we've been on the cool and probably wet side on the eastern side. And the western side has been a little drier here lately, but was wet during the month of April. But we'll just have to see. Sunspots would still tell me temperatures will have a tendency to be on the cool side, and the precip may have a tendency to be on the below normal side. So we'll just have to see whether or not that holds true as we go into the main growing season.
Anything else that we need to discuss for the day? And reminder that we'll talk to you in, oh, I don't know, about 40 minutes or so for Commodity Week, and we'll put that up on the web at willag.org this evening.
We'll get into that maybe here. We'll end on Commodity Week, but otherwise there's just not a lot of news right at this time. The crop is planted, and once the crop is planted, for the most of the time, it's only one big rain away from a record crop, but this year may not be the case. We might be a couple of weeks of warm weather away from a record crop. I guess we need some warmth and some growing degree days. I'm really amazed how small the crop is. I'm back here home in Mercer County for a couple of weeks. You know, especially coming from Texas where it's all in full tassel. I come up here and I see corn maybe 6 inches high. I see beans just coming out of the ground. So I am amazed how late a start we're getting, at least in this particular corner of the Corn Belt anyway.
Hey, thanks so much. I think that's the way it is actually across most of the Corn Belt. Although, you know, what's odd is that it seems from the USDA numbers, Dan, we're on pace. It just seems like we're late all at the same time. And maybe that's because we had to wait to get started and we caught up. That's where we are. We'll talk more about that this afternoon, and we'll give you a call here shortly for Commodity Week.
Very well.
Thanks so much. That, of course, Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, it appears no deadline has yet been set for wrapping up the brand new NAFTA talks, or at least that might be the case. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative pushed back yesterday against reports that Mexico and the United States had pledged to wrap up NAFTA talks by December 15th, saying only that the Trump administration's position continues to be that NAFTA negotiations should move expeditiously toward a conclusion. The denial came amid a report in the Mexican press that Mexico's economic secretary told a closed-door gathering of business officials that he and U.S. Trade Representative Lighthizer had agreed on a December 15th date during a bilateral meeting earlier this month. On that note, President Trump may have his eye on eliminating U.S. foreign food aid, but it seems the House Agriculture Committee is not going to let that happen without a fight, or at least a hearing. Chairman Mike Conaway will hold a hearing next week on the future of international food aid and agricultural development. This according to a notice from the committee, which appears to be directly aimed at pushing back against the administration's plan to nix those programs. While the committee had planned to review food aid programs as part of its preparation for the 2018 Farm Bill, it said Trump's budget proposal makes this hearing especially timely, as supporters of these programs will have the opportunity to demonstrate how these programs truly embody an America First policy. The administration's budget, released last month, looked to zero out all foreign food aid programs. That didn't go over well with farmers who rely on the programs to buy up some of their crops. And finally today, a coalition of agricultural groups has asked Congress to include language in an appropriations bill to allow 10 states to increase commercial truck weight limits. In a letter sent to the leaders of the House Appropriations Committee, the coalition noted it's been 35 years since the government last updated the gross vehicle weight limit of 80,000 pounds on federal interstate highways. Meanwhile, all 50 states have passed exceptions allowing trucks greater than the weight limit to operate on local roads. Also, more than 30 states have higher limits on their portions of interstate highways. Under the pilot program, 10 states could opt in to allow 91,000 pounds six-axle bridge formula compliant trucks on federal interstate highways within their borders and collect additional safety data regarding the gross vehicle weight and axle configurations of commercial trucks involved in serious accidents. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, it looks like 2017 will be another rough year for grain farmers in the United States. Well, even in Illinois, where the trendline yield for corn is 200 bushels to the acre and 61 for soybeans, the average income on a 1,500-acre grain farm this year is expected to be just $25,000. And that's not good, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnittke.
That $25,000 level isn't enough to cover all of the family living withdrawals and capital purchase expenses that are needed from a farm. We sort of think of a $70,000 to $80,000 level being sustainable in the long run. So that's below that, and so we're looking at some financial deterioration on farms if these projections hold.
It's a projection that wasn't quite so low earlier in the year. Then, like today, Schnittke was using an average cash sales price of $370 a bushel in the Illinois crop budget for corn.
What has caused our income forecast to come down, though, has been a decline in soybean prices in recent weeks. Earlier in the year, we were using $970 for soybean price, and we've seen those come down, and now we're using a $9 price in 2017 projections, which is above fall delivery prices right now. $8.85 would be a pretty representative fall delivery price for soybeans in central Illinois.
A decline in soybean prices to $9 likely will trigger a 2017 Arc County payment, given county soybean yields are at trend levels. As a result, Illinois' 2017 projections build in a $15 an acre government payment. It won't arrive until the fall of 2018, but an estimated $20 payment from last year's crop, well, that should arrive this fall. In 2017, revenue is projected to be $755 an acre for corn, down $77 from last year. Gross revenue for soybeans is projected at $564 an acre, $140 per acre lower than in 2016.
We're joined now by Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt, thanks for being with us. How are conditions down on the farm?
Well, you know, this week actually, that's pretty decent weather for the most part. My dad was spotting in some beans here the last couple of days. Some of them were the second time around. So three plant or replant, however you want to say it. But, you know, the second time we got those beans planted, we actually got a big rain on them again and had to come back in and spot a few more. So for the most part, it looks like we're probably done. I think even if we had some sort of a major issue at this point in the year, we're probably going to let well enough alone. But I think the fields are both corn and beans in decent shape. We look good considering. I think we've taken the top end maybe off the yield, of course, but I do think we could have decent crops, but the weather's definitely going to have to cooperate this summer.
How's basis in your area acting this week?
We haven't really seen a whole lot of movement for the most part. Looking yesterday, it didn't look to me like we really have seen a whole lot of movement. The market's been so volatile, up and down, up and down. You know, it doesn't seem like anybody's getting too awfully excited, even though flat price really hasn't moved a whole lot. So I haven't really seen a whole lot of movement there.
Do farmers need to be considering old crop corn sales at this time?
Yeah, I think so. For the most part, I think keeping offers in place is a smart thing to do. If we do break out of this channel to the upside, as most people seem to be rooting for the corn market to do, of course, we'd all like to see that. But if you do break out to the upside, of course, there's going to be a lot of corn to reward the market. And my assumption is that basis is probably going to provide a little bit of a headwind. Maybe we'll get 20-30 cent rally, hopefully. I think we could lose a dime of that pretty quickly in basis, though.
Your view on the soybean market?
Well, I think with beans, on old beans, it's tough to make sales when you're so far off the highs. But bottom line on soybeans is, you know, there still could be more downside movement. Technically, we're not in a great position. I think that a producer probably ought to let well enough alone and maybe get rid of some of them. Keep a little ownership maybe on paper with a limited risk strategy isn't a bad idea, because this bean market lots of times will rally at times whenever we least expect it. But for the most part, I really would like to be out of the ownership of beans.
Are producers current with new crop soybean sales?
You know, a lot of the folks we deal with definitely have sold more new crop beans than what they have many years. I don't know as a whole that producers have done so, but you know, the bottom line is whenever we had a high of around 1035 and, you know, spring price was 1019, there was so much time to sell beans above $10. But the problem is whenever the market starts to dip below 10, it makes the producer feel handcuffed. And so it's tough to go ahead and make sales. But, you know, I'd point out that before we got the rally last spring in 16, a lot of beans were sold in this area because producers felt like $9 basis of board wasn't going to be a bad sale after going through a pretty rough winter price-wise. And so as long as it works on a producer's farm, based upon their expected production, I think they need to still take a close look at least protecting some of these beans.
Are crop budgets for soybeans this year higher because of the genetics or the cost of seed?
Well, yeah, I mean, seed probably costs a little more, but, you know, going to extend beans from just Roundup 2 beans, we didn't see a huge increase. It really wasn't that much. I think, you know, bottom line, whenever I look at producers' balance sheets for soybeans and their crop budgets, a lot of guys are plugging in a little bit higher yields, plugging in a fair amount of profit whenever they're going to do their cash flow. But the assumptions on both yield and price were fairly robust. And at this point, you know, I'm a little bit worried that we might have some awfully disappointed folks this fall, especially if something crazy doesn't happen weather-wise.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, out of Windsor, Illinois. This is the closing market report for the first day of June 2017. Now let's take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenorum. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being here. Let's get started right away. Can you give me kind of the conditions as it relates to weather across the whole of the growing regions in the United States?
Well, we're basically dealing with two different issues. The first issue, and the most important one at the moment, is that it's been very dry over the last 30, 60, and 90-day periods in the Northern Plains. This includes the entirety of the spring wheat belt, and we're seeing some very alarming dryness numbers showing up out of these states, and that's just because it hasn't rained very much at all for a while. If you look at rainfall over the last 30 days across the U.S. spring wheat belt, only 12% of U.S. production was wetter than normal over the last 30 days. So that tells you that they need some rain. And unfortunately, even though there will be a little bit of rain over the next 2 days, and then maybe a little more around Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, there just is not that much on the horizon. Things do get a little more active in the June 10th to 15th time period, where it'll start to warm up. We'll start to see some more thunderstorm clusters moving around the central U.S. One of those will need to hit that area. Whether or not that happens will probably be something we'll discuss in a week from now.
So where does that area encompass?
Basically all of North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and Northwest Minnesota. But the thing that's rather interesting about it is that even though that area is very dry, it's a relatively small area if you look at the entirety of the United States. It's only this one little pocket here that's been real dry in that period, but it's right on top of spring wheat.
So we're fairly close then to parts of the Corn Belt for the Midwest. You mentioned Minnesota, the northwestern corner. We do have corn in North and South Dakota. Nebraska is there, the number three producer. Minnesota is the number four producer of corn. Iowa, of course, number one. What's your implication, if any, for those parts of the world?
Well, at this point, there's not a whole lot to think about just because it's been so wet. And as we go forward, even though rain chances are quickly diminishing across most of the Corn Belt over the next 4 to 5 days, earlier in the week, it looked like a pretty solid chance for rain across the Corn Belt. That chance does not look so good as we speak, and we don't think there'll be a whole lot in the way of heavy rain over the next 4 or 5 days. If anybody gets hit with significant rainfall, it'll most likely be in parts of Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, including some of those areas that definitely do not need any more rain. But everybody else starts to dry out. Next week, rain chances are not all that good either. It looks pretty dry but cool for most of next week, which again brings us into June 10th to 15th. That starts up next Saturday and Sunday and then into the following week. It will turn a lot warmer in that period. There will be some waves of energy moving across the central U.S. And more than likely, we'll see a few thunderstorms here and there with near normal rainfall in that period. We can't say this is a huge issue at this point, but we would like to see some of these rain chances verify, because if they don't, then all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty dry June by the time you get to the middle of the month.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great one.
You too. Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather. He's out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to visit our website, willag.org. Commodity Week will be up by about 5 o'clock this evening.